Hello and welcome to the podcast Astrology and Stuff, where we try to talk about serious subjects without taking ourselves too seriously. I'm your hostess and sacred clown, Sampriti. Thank you so much for being here. Hello and welcome to the podcast. And really, I'm talking to myself because it's been a few months since I've recorded and posted an actual Astrology and Stuff episode. I've been very busy over on the Patreon. If you haven't heard, there's this thing called Patreon where some of your favorite creators can set up a little clubhouse, a little community for folks who like their work and want more of their work in a more personal way. And yes, Astrology and Stuff, this podcast has a Patreon that helps support the podcast itself. It's absolutely incredible. As a creator, as a talker, I cannot overstate the love and the love of the connection that I have with these people. I do a weekly transit talk over there on the Patreon. So it kind of takes these really big concepts that we're dealing with here on the podcast and brings them down to the week to week, brings them down to a place where it's a lot more digestible. It's a lot more personal and interpersonal, and therefore we can kind of get a little bit more traction with this whole embodiment thing. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out over on patreon.com/astrologyandstuffpod. All of those words, astrology and stuff pod, are separated by underscores. So you can just search for the podcast, and I hope to see you soon. As I'm recording this, it is mid to late April. My April books are open, and May's books are going to be open late next week. So right before the beginning of the month, I typically open up that month's books for natal chart readings, astrocartography readings, soulful doula sessions, getting in touch with personal desire, because there's this whole thing that happens when we are changing our scripts, changing our programming, whether you want to call it awakening or healing or coming into greater consciousness, however you want to call it. There's a period of time where we are bringing in all of this new information and learning about ourselves and about the world around us in a much bigger way, it feels like, we lose the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking about ourselves, of relating to how we put ourselves out there in the world and how we interrelate with each other. It goes away. And a side effect of that, but really it's primary, is we don't know how to connect with our desire, meaning we don't know how to connect with what we want in this new way of doing things. And that's what soulful doula sessions are all about. In the way that I teach beginners and beginner mediates a vocabulary of astrology or of human design, the soulful doula sessions are all about the vocabulary, like relating to your body through a different lens when it comes to the anatomy and physiology of your own energy, your own creative expression, your own desire for what you want to experience more of in this life. And I think a lot of us feel a little hamstrung when we kind of switch scripts and become a little bit more conscious. And this is for you. This is kind of a classroom of sorts, but a very interactive one that can and does. I've been practicing this way for the last 3+ years. And it offers an intimate understanding for how we work internally and externally. And it's so much fun. It is so much fun. So go check it out. All of the offerings are up on my website, www.astrogeomantica.net. And come check me out. All right. So this episode is going to be on the short side. I was taking a walk in the woods this morning and just kind of struck with an idea and wanted to share it. So this is very informal, even for this podcast. So today I want to talk about permission slips. That permission slips meaning, you know, have you ever had that experience where you are either in therapy or talking to somebody at the grocery store, a complete stranger, you know how it goes, no judgies, and you're kind of, you're venting, you're not in the most comfortable place. You feel a lot of resistance, and you're not quite sure what to do next, and it just feels sticky, and blah, you just, you know, you start emoting from this place of like, ugh. And that person outside of you says something along the lines of, you know, you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. You know, you know what? Just take the day off. Go have a bath. Or, you know, you really, something maybe a little bit bigger. You know, you don't have to take that anymore, you know? And it's just this kind of externalized epiphany of hearing the world around you, quote unquote, give you permission to do something or to feel a certain way or to take a certain path that you didn't internally, you know, is the right thing to do, but you just didn't have the capacity to give it to yourself. You needed to hear it from outside of you. That kind of permission slip thing. And it's that kind of thing where it's a lot easier to take orders from other people sometimes when it comes to self-care than it is to, you know, honor that within ourselves. That's why we're a community. We're an ecosystem. I like to think, and this is just a playground this episode, I'd like to play around with permission slips that are written by your chart, you know, your own personal chart. And specifically, I want to talk about the astrology of being given a permission slip for a certain type of creative self-expression, in that specifically astrologically, the placement of our sun predominantly, but this could also be a moon placement, we can see it as a permission slip, like which house my sun is in. This is a way that my psyche, myself, my heart, all of me, my soma, my body, receives permission slips from my higher self to creatively self-express. And here I'm going to talk myself down off of that very high roof. For instance, this morning, I was in the woods and I was walking, and I'm at a point where I can feel a lot of creative energy beginning to bubble under the surface. And it's been a quiet couple of weeks client-wise, and for good reason. I've been physically pretty under the weather for the last month. And I haven't had much more than like the Patreon sharing that I do there. I haven't had much more than that to really give. And so there hasn't been a whole lot of circulation of that creative energy in the past month. and not a lot of like that being reflected back to me in reciprocity. So, and I totally understand why. And we all have to have seasons like that. So I'm at the tail end of that because I know I'm at the tail end because I can begin to feel that itchiness of like, ooh, what do I make now? Who do I talk to? How do I get this out into the world? And so I go into the woods and I just kind of walk and talk it out, like literally talking to myself in the woods a little bit and just start to get it flowing. And something came up like this, the desire, because what I was doing is I was giving my desire a place to voice itself. And it started to emerge immediately. And I know from very long, painful, awkward, horrible awakening puberty experience that my bent is to like feel that creative energy start to emerge, and then me immediately try to formulate it into a structure, like shoving it, you know, branding it and doing this and doing that and applying like all of these outer timelines, like this linear shit to this really beautiful, oozy, primordial creative mess still. So I felt myself doing that, responding to the creative energy, like, how do we get it out there? And I was just like, let's just listen. Let's just, we're not going to have a timeline on this. It's okay to get excited. Absolutely. Let's feel excited about this, but we don't have to attach outcomes. Let's free ourselves from attaching outcomes to it. And let's just let it be. And I just started, you know how you do when you're watching yourself process. And I started to notice, like I started to take this kind of creative idea and immediately formulate it into, I'm going to create a class out of this. I'm going to create a workshop out of this. I'm going to create a something out of this for folks out there. And my first response to that was like, why do you have to monetize everything? Or why do you have to make something for everything that comes up for you? Why do you have to make it for somebody else? And let's just, and this is my, this voice right now is my post, you know, late stage capitalist productivity toxicity coached entrepreneur self saying, not everything has to be a class. Not everything has to have a price tag on it. Not everything has to, you know, not that I'm like that person 100% of the time, but just in these last couple of years, it's been a very weird time as an entrepreneur with social media and like riding that line between everything that you do must be offered to somebody else. And the other end of it being like, you can't, and anything that you, that bubbles up inside of you, it's for you. You know, you don't have to let anybody see it. And you probably shouldn't because, you know, you're a conscious being and why would you engage in capitalism? So like, it's a very weird dance that people in my sphere who feel attuned and aligned with doing what I'm doing have just tried to dance over the last 5 years. Anyway, so I'm watching like all of these voices like respond one to another. And that last one was like, how about we just let whatever comes up today, what if it's just for you? What if we just let it be for you? And then it can do whatever it needs to do, but we don't have to automatically externalize it and make it for somebody else. And just because you feel it doesn't mean it's for somebody else. And then a new voice entered the chat, and it was astrologically informed. And it's like, wait a minute, I have a 10th house sun and moon. the 10th house, or excuse me, the sun being my most radiant self-expression, my most authentic, like doing the thing that only I can do in the way that I do it with the vibration that I have, that type of radiance, that's the sun. The moon is my internal radiance. It's my reflected radiance. It's how I internalize the world. So we could say that it's creative self-expression, but internally experienced, whereas the sun is creative self-expression, externally moved, you know, externally circulated. And that's when it hit me. It's like, well, what if I this is my way of leaning into my sun? What if this is my, and my moon for that matter, what if this is my way of expressing? What if this is my cascade of expression, creative energy, and how it wants to move from immaterial to material? Because that 10th house is right at the top of my chart. It is in the most public place in my development. That's why the 10th house, you know, in astrology, normie everyday astrology, it's a lot of people attach it immediately to career because it's not just way out in the open, you know, us manifesting ourselves with the help of the public. It's in a way that encourages and circulates a sense of success, a sense of our outer life reflecting inner authority. That's 10th house. And so I just had this moment of like, wait a minute, what if that's just my creative bent? When the creative energy bubbles up, it has to move through this little cookie cutter of a 10th house, because my sun and my moon are in the 10th house, of let's make something for somebody else. Let's make something for the general public. If I was purely a writer, I'd be, you know, writing stuff for the stage. You know, I probably wouldn't be writing stuff that only I would see. As a 10th house sun and moon, I would want so much of my stuff to be seen. I would need so much of my stuff to be seen by others. And so then I continued to, and that's when I attached that permission slip thing to it. I was like, maybe the 10th house, formulating creative energy through 10th house themes, through a 10th house filter, gives me my nervous system a really easy to follow permission slip of like, yeah, go ahead and create it. If it's for somebody else, that's more easy. It makes more sense. It's that groove is more developed in my system. It's a strength that I have. Plus I have a south node in Capricorn. So double the strength and double the mastery of like, yeah, this is a comfort level. And maybe I just pretend that I am making something for somebody else, for a wider platform, just to express that creative juice that needs to come out, that wants to be expressed. And then maybe that's the end of the expression. Once I make the thing, maybe it can just be for me. But in the act of creation, perhaps I play around with just kind of funneling that energy through this very well-worn, very important, very personal little channel of how it's going to come out into the world. So then I started thinking about, you know, those closest to me and their charts and, you know, my spouse. He has an 11th house sun and moon. And every single thing he creates it with the wider lens. Like he's an incredibly creative person, actively creative person now. And his line of work He is literally building things, tearing them down and rebuilding them. Painting and sculpting and carpentry and contracting and then building groups, you know, and teaching groups how to do that. That level of expression, that level of creative expression that he gets to do, he has to do it for the greater good. He works for a nonprofit. He has to funnel that. It's okay for him. It feels safe for him. I'd even go as far as saying for him to open up and be in that creative space because he knows it's for the community. And he's also a writer. He's an incredible poet. And 100% of his writing are things that he's written for me and for his kids and for like a really few very special friends. And he can't write because we've talked about it, his process, he can't write without somebody else in his head. Like who is he writing this for? For whom is he writing this? There it is. And he has to keep that triggers the creative impulse. When he thinks about his kids, it triggers his creative impulse. And then he feels freedom to and safety and motivation and fire to express himself as an 11th house sun and moon. But mostly we're talking about the sun, again, creative self-expression. And then I thought about my mom, and she is an 8th house sun, conjunct Pluto. Yes, yes. And in Leo, by the way. I'll take any and all donations. No, it's incredible, but she is intense. And she's an artist, and if she puts her hands on anything, she knows how to manipulate it as an artist, whether it's material, whether it's paint, whether it's clay, whether it's plants, whether it's again, like plumbing, electrical work. This woman has like done it all. Automotive repair. This tiny woman has done it all, but she, as that 8th house sun, I have watched her throughout my whole life. Really, it has to be a deep impulse for her to feel safe enough to be creative. It has to be psychological. It has to stimulate her psychologically. And for her psychology and her spiritual life are completely intertwined. And so her spiritual life and her religious life, her relationship to God is in so many ways her access and her relationship to her own psychology, to her own process of transformation, to her own process of evolution, which is 8th house, you know, Scorpio, Pluto. And especially with that Pluto conjunct her sun, those 8th house themes are just bright and shiny and flaring, and they're taking up all of the space. So any act of creation, in order for her to feel safe, in order for her to feel motivated, in order for her to feel ready to creatively self-express, it has to touch the deepest parts of her. And as a result, you know, this is a little case study. As a result of that, it's been a challenging road for this, you know, baby boomer woman to feel, you know, growing up, raised by depression people and growing up in a really challenging, horrible household with a lot of loss and a lot of trauma. It's taken her decades to feel safe enough to go deep enough in order to fully express her creative potential. And as a result, she took like a 40-year break from painting. But during that time, she sewed everything. She crocheted everything. She knit everything. The woman took up quilting. She's a master kilt maker now. And there's not many of those outside of Scotland. And so that obviously you can't shut down that creative fire without like hurting the body. And she's just too vital for that. Like that wasn't the path for her life. So she's never not created, but now she's in the past couple of years, she's really been able to find that link to what to heal that which needs to be healed in order for her to feel safe enough and worthy enough to fully express. Not just because she's sewing something for her daughter or sewing something for customers or clients, but simply because she's responding to the internal creative impulse, just making it for making its sake, but also making it because she knows, maybe unconsciously, maybe not consciously, somewhat consciously, maybe not in these words, she knows that the act of creation is her necessary transformation, right? As that eighth house sun, the act of creative self-expression is a continuous act of the serpent shedding its skin and becoming new, and then shedding its skin and becoming new again and again and again. And so her permission slip is that to get really, really deep are those eighth house themes. She was a psych nurse for a long time. She loves psychologizing everything. And so her being able to find the language that serves the depths at which she creates and emotes, and then transforms, she's made it, you know, she's figuring it out just like we all are, but she's really figuring out and really creating that stuff. So those are just some case studies, my own and then two others. I would wonder, where does your sun sit in your chart? Because I also thought, like, well, how impactful is this impactful? Does the sign impact this just as much as the placement? And it didn't feel true. It didn't feel like the sign, it feels like the sign, whatever sign your sun is in, has a very, it's like apples and oranges. It has another mechanism that's running parallel to this house placement mechanism, but specific to like the permission slip. Like when you are consciously or unconsciously feeling like the impulse to create and feeling resistance, your mind is creating stories to create resistance for that creative impulse to happen. What are the permission slips that we can use? Like you remember mine being, well, I'm just going to like pretend that I'm making a class for somebody, or I'm making a curriculum, or I'm going to write down some notes for a podcast that I'm going to record and I'm going to put it out there for somebody else. Like making it for the general public or like a group, somebody else, making it public is my permission slip. Because I have a 10th house sun, making it as a vector for community connection and finding a place in the and serving the community, that's my spouse's vector, right? Making it in order to serve a deeper transformational purpose, and we can create language, we can utilize religious language and psychological language to, you know, help word that. That's my mom's as an eighth house son. Do you have a son in the sixth house? Do you have a first house son? My son has a first house son, and I talk to a lot of people who have spoken to and worked with quite a few folks who have sons in the first house, or at least like parties, like stelliums in the first house. And it's like, it has to be personal for you. What if like your permission slip was, I have to make this for me. And that was the route to freedom of creative self-expression. I can only make this for me. And so I make this because it feels good to my body. I say this because it feels good to my body. Like whatever creative self-expression we're talking about, whatever form it takes. Do you have a fourth house son? Do you have a sixth house son? Do you have a 12th house son? Look at your chart, see what house your son is in, you know, study up on those themes. Hit me up if you're a part of the Patreon. And if you're not, go check it out. You can also DM me on Instagram at Sampreeti Life. And if you have like a question about this, or if you want some greater insight around it, do not hesitate to ask and reach out. I love that. And just kind of see where it goes. Again, this is us playing with our astrology. This is us experimenting with our particular recipes, of which we're made of. So, and that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. What do you think about house placements versus signs? Again, any and all questions, send them my way. And hopefully I will be getting out another full episode about planetary embodiment. I can feel another one bubbling up. if not later on this week, then next week. But again, as always, thanks for being here. So that's it for this episode of Astrology and Stuff. You can find all past episodes on all the usual listening platforms. And you also have a way to get weekly bonus episodes, again, on my Patreon page. Just search Astrology and Stuff Podcast. Bonus episodes are weekly peeks into the planetary transits where we can get into the astrology of the week and how that may be affecting you in your neck of the woods. Each episode of Astrology and Stuff is written, recorded, edited, and mixed by me, Sampreeti Ireland. The music you hear is an original work by Angel Wing. And again, thank you for being here.